Morning in America. One of the nice things that's happened on this radio show is some friendships, close relationships have been developed. None more so than with John Klein, chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee, congressman from Minnesota 2nd, and a great American. Good morning, Chairman Klein.
Good morning, Secretary Bennett. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I like the way you call me Secretary, like I'm still there, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're there in heart spirit, I'm sure.
Thanks very much, and we're delighted you took the opportunity to use this show to talk about something new you're going to do, and let us know. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. When last we talked, I think, on your program, we were just taking up the first of five bills that we're going to move to the House to replace No Child Left Behind, reauthorize ESEA. That was a program elimination bill.
Right.
Got rid of over half of the programs. We've since taken up the charter schools bill, passed it through committee in a really bipartisan way, shockingly. And now we'll be introducing today the State and Local Funding Flexibility Act, which addresses the problem that I've heard from superintendents all across the country and principals. Put it to me this way. We need money here, and I don't have it. I've got money over there, and I don't need it. I want to be able to move that money. I mean, that's
nice.
Simplifying, as I'm sure you understand, but it has been perplexing to them and frustrating to schools all across the country that they cannot move money to where they need it. So we're introducing legislation that will allow them to do that.
Nice way of putting it. I think that's exactly right, and that's my experience visiting the schools. Why do you guys take our money and then tell us how to use it when we know better how to use it? Isn't that the point?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's exactly right. And I know it's very, very frustrating to them to see money that they could get their hands on if the government would allow them to do so and spend it where they need it, but they're not allowed to do so, and that needs to be corrected. And unfortunately, this one will not be entirely bipartisan. We had hoped that it would be. I'm making, I think, a really serious effort at getting bipartisan cooperation and fixing this very broken law, but there are people who just claim ownership to certain pieces and won't let go. So.
Tell me why, Chairman Klein. Let me hypothesize this, and you're doing this every day. I'm not anymore by any means. But that is, on the charter schools, you get a concession because I think some people on the left believe unless they support charters, they're going to have to, you know, fight vouchers and fight, you know, tuition tax credits and other things. But on this one, why the resistance? Why not more, quote, excuse the expression, power to the people and less to the government?
Well, I think that there are segments of the school population that the federal government has stepped in over years, and you watch this happen, to provide funding to address a specific problem, English language learners,
right,
poor kids. And they feel like that the federal government needs to keep control of keep their hands on the reins of the money going for those specific kids. But the point is, my point is, and what the superintendents will tell you and tell me is, look, we need, for example, to upgrade computers across the whole school, and it'll help all of the kids. I don't have the money to do that, and I need it. I've got money over here for, say, English language learners, and I really don't need all that money there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there is a constituency, if you will, or maybe it's a sponsorship is a better way of putting it, here in Congress that says, oh, no, you can't spend that money that I like for something that in another category. And it's frustrating. And I think it inhibits the progress of all the kids when you block the money that way.
Well, it's also, there's a mindset. We were just talking to Tom Price, you know, Congressman Price.
Oh, I heard part of that, and I am glad we clarified the orthopedic surgeon part of that.
Yeah, was that just, does one have to just say everything so one does not think, oh, Lord.
It's outrageous. I know.
Are we living in the age of Anthony Weiner still? Help us, God help us. Chairman, well, it's two things. One, on the money, the federal government believes it's maybe it's their money. It's at least entitled to more of your money, whether it believes it's theirs or not.
Right.
But now the point you're making is it's not only that; it also believes it knows better how to spend your money.
Oh, exactly.
Now, here's the interesting phenomenon. I think it was Newt Gingrich I first heard this from, who said a guy is working as a superintendent or deputy superintendent in the St. Paul School District, and he's told how to spend the money by the federal government because he's not smart enough to know it by himself. He comes to Washington and gets a job at the Department of Education. Ipso facto, he is now smarter than he was. I mean, you may find that a useful example.
Yeah, it's a very useful example.
But isn't that the point? That isn't true. First of all, if you travel around and talk to people, as you have, you find out they're just as smart as the people in Washington, at least. And they sure as heck know their problems and circumstances better.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's the point. That's what we're trying to get at, is we've moved control progressively from the schools where the kids are supposed to learn to Washington, D.C., where, as you said, people get instantly smarter when they take a job with the administration and apparently know how every school should be run. And that's what we're pushing back. As you and I discussed a number of times, as we're looking for ways to help our kids get a better education, be more competitive here and around the world, one of the things that keeps coming up and that we're working on very hard in the committee is to pull back the intrusion of the federal government.
Yeah.
It exploded under No Child Left Behind. And now with this secretary, who's a wonderfully nice man, Arnie Duncan, he is trying to mold the nation's schools in the image that he wants to see, and using every tool at his disposal, and even some that I would argue aren't at his disposal.
Yeah. Let me just point this out too, just a memory, if you don't mind, because it makes the same point in the largest way. When I was secretary, one of the first things I did was I asked all the people who received federal money what the best program was that we ran, and you know what the answer was that they came up with? The block grant, because it gave them the maximum flexibility. So that's always what they want. How much flexibility is in here, Chairman? Can you use Title I monies for Title II? Can you? I mean, how?
You can do an awful lot. It is much more than my Democratic colleagues like. Therefore, as I said, it probably won't be as bipartisan. May not be bipartisan at all. We'll see as we go through the process. But it's not the not completely unlimited flexibility. There are some constraints. Not that it would happen, but you cannot, for example, take IDEA money and spend it on something else.
So tell people what IDEA money is.
It is special ed funding, is the way most people think of it.
Right.
The Individual Disabilities and Education Act. Most schools, in fact, every single superintendent principal that I've talked to has said they don't have enough special ed money.
Yeah, sure.
You and I have had this conversation where
the
federal government, when they passed IDEA back in the 70s, said, well, the federal government will provide 40% of the extra funds required to implement this.
Right.
They've never gotten to half of it.
Yeah.
So schools are struggling constantly to meet the requirements of the law. They don't have the money to do it. This would allow a superintendent, a principal, administrators to move money into that program much more easily than they can now. You cannot move it out. I actually don't think there's any school that is interested in moving it out of there, but this law would not allow them to do that.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. A few just questions, maybe inside baseball, but co-sponsors, other people have expressed interest, schedule hearings, who are you going to talk to?
Yeah, well, we have co-sponsors, of course. And we will plan to mark this legislation up. That's inside baseball talk. We're going to bring it up in committee and allow amendments in a couple of weeks. We have been talking. We've had many, many hearings that have been talking to people throughout the year. And as you know, in previous years, this the issue of reauthorizing Elementary and Secondary Education Act is not new on the table. The last Congress, when Republicans were in the minority, groped with it, couldn't get it done. We're now moving forward in the House in this process that I outlined, where we're taking the whole big bill and breaking it up into five separate pieces of legislation, two of which are complete through committee. The third one is this one. It'll be complete here in a couple of weeks. When we get back from the August recess, we'll take up the last two pieces, one dealing with teachers and one dealing with accountability, which is, of course, the whatever that cliche is, the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Yeah,
that's what will replace the AYP, which is proving to be adequate yearly progress, which is proving to be so troubling to schools all across the country.
You know, you're still speaking English. this is a field that is rife with you and I could go for 40 minutes with AYP, ESEA, blah, 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 isn't it?
I know.
You know, but,
and I'm trying to catch myself and just remember that not everybody listening to your program
Right.
lives with AYP every day.
That's right, general audience. I'm just curious, back on that earlier point, as you had your committee hearings and heard your experts, and I'm wondering, is there a superintendent out there who actually said, you know, I'm just not very smart. I don't know how the heck the money should be spent. I need you guys to tell me how to do it.
You know, you'll be shocked to learn. No, not a single
Okay.
And in fact, some
That's
of them
very
were.
Funny.
It doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
I know. Sure.
They are frustrated. They feel like they are manacled right now. They need to be freed up. They want to exercise their initiative. They're frustrated with the testing program as dictated by NCLB.
Yep.
They are frustrated by the inability to move funds. They were frustrated by the number of programs. I had superintendents tell me, I don't even bother to try to apply for money for those programs. I don't even try. And so we're really trying to simplify, streamline, push the federal government out of the way and let these schools do their jobs. And yet, as you know, the challenge always here is you actually got to get some legislation passed here if you're going to correct the problems of No Child Left Behind, because that is the law, and it is absent repair is doing increasing damage. So it keeps us busy.
Well, good. I thank you for using this show as the place to announce this. We're very grateful. We're here ready for the next one if you wish. And second, you know, this is obviously just another step on the way to returning education to the control of people who should have it, state, local parents.
Exactly. We want more local control, more choice. If parents had more choices and competition were greater, education would be better. Not to oversimplify, but I just believe that's true, and we're trying to move in that direction.
Pretty good. Pretty good for a Marine, you know. Pretty good. Not bad. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Klein. Thank you very much. This is good. See, Republicans can do this. Chris, this is not owned by the Democratic Party just because that's where the NEA is. Republicans can do this and do sensible things. We'll be back. Come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need money with a face like that, do ya?